Hey, Scruffy, you need a haircut? Got an idea for you. Go to MaryToddHairCo.com, find yourself an appointment, and get yourself a haircut. They also have hot lather shaves and some of the best colorists in the city. Don't believe me? Pick up your iPhone and go, hey, Siri, where can I get the best men's or women's haircut in Atlanta? Guess what? It's going to pop up Mary Todd Hair Co. Also, Mary Todd is a custom line of shampoo, pomades, beard oils, all handmade using the finest ingredients available. Did I say they're produced locally? Well, they are. Check them out at MaryToddHairCo.com/products.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
Brown House. Cleveland, it's Loretta.
What?
But you're dead. Who's there with you, Loretta?
It's us, you idiot.
She's still dead.
Oh, you guys are more meaner than the Jerky Boys.
Hey, who else has a dead wife?
Mort. I got this one.
Hello?
Shalom.
Muriel?
Juggy, hey, you crazy bastard, how you doing?
Yeah, Dad, right now.
Ooh, I smell bacon. Do you smell bacon?
Yeah.
Ladies, I'm a very desperate man. My name is Mort, and I live with my mother.
He had nothing to do with the Hucklebuck.
Yeah, well, he had to deal with it that night. He's trying to suck the pants off, but he's got plenty to do with it.
What was that?
Yeah, I know, me too.
I have warts all over my ass and genitalia. Okay, I'd like a picture naked of me, please.
Pablo, honey? You washing your ass? Pablo?
What was your name, please?
Saul Rosenberg.
Sparky the Clown. How you doing, Fruitcake?
How do you say that, Flapjack?
For Christ's sake, this guy backed off over my legs 3 or 4 times there. They look like fucking chop meat now.
I put about 9 people on a 22-footer. I took them up there, and then they started to fucking panic.
Cold feet.
All feet.
Cold feet.
What are the feet?
Yeah.
That's okay.
You wrote the fucking ad. You know what it says, don't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So did Levinsky ever give you the Hucklebuck?
Let me speak to your manager.
I'm sorry. Just a minute.
Oh, can you believe this guy?
Yeah, Burger Bob. Give me your fucking order there, tough guy.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Ira Melk, and Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
So I had this. Hey, everybody! Welcome to episode. What is this? Jeff, who put the thing on the?
The thing.
I started counting the episodes to make sure it was really 97, but I got to like 40 something, and I just got too tired.
Gave up. No, man, it's 97. For all intents and purposes, this is episode 97.
So if one of the radios wants to really count the episodes, though, make sure of that.
Yeah, they can go ahead.
Go ahead and do that.
So tonight we have Johnny Brennan from the Jerky Boys on the show.
You ruined the whole intro that I wrote.
What are you talking about?
I wrote that whole intro.
We've been promoting it for 2 weeks.
He'll cut that out.
I'll say the intro when he is on the phone before he starts talking. How's that sound?
All right.
Sounds like a fucking gem.
Yeah.
Spent all day writing this intro.
You did? How many times did you revise it?
27.
Yeah. Ira's with us tonight. Fucking Ira.
Hi.
But you don't get a hashtag fucking Ira because you're here.
I don't. Okay. Well,
Steph is
this guy fucks.
Yes. Steph returns next week.
Steph will be back next week. So this week she's still fucking Steph.
Yeah. And we'll finally break down the Preacher season 2 finale. Autumn Fisher will call in to talk about Star Trek Discovery and the Orville.
Next week.
Plus the Redbox Troll will return. And since it's episode 98, we're going to take a look back at 1998.
Next week?
Yes.
All right.
So you're welcome.
I will see.
We'll see
what the date is.
We'll see,
I feel like there's a lot going on next week.
So I've been excited for about 2 weeks since Jeff went and got this booked for us.
Nice work, Jeff.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, this is like Johnny Brennan. I didn't even know his name for 15 years. It was just the Jerky Boys.
Right.
And who the hell is behind that? The guy is like a myth, you know? And it's like, oh, yeah, the Jerky Boys. But you never really, as much as I know those calls and know all the lines and everything, I guess I never really put too much thought to, like, who the hell is this guy?
Well, back then he had a mullet and a goatee, and he was kind of portly. He's all ripped and everything.
Is he?
Yeah, because he's been, on his Twitter feed, he's been talking about working out every day. So
I saw the picture of his face.
Yeah?
You recognize the face?
What's you guys' favorite call?
I was thinking about that today. It's either auto mechanic.
You don't go beyond the second CD, right?
Yeah, and even the second CD, I'm spotty.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know a few, you know.
Right.
But the first CD, and the reason I know the first CD so well is because that original cassette tape that was circulating back
right.
in the early 90s that everybody had, you had, I had, it was just that first CD, wasn't it?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive, because there was another guy on there who called himself John Musacha.
Yeah.
And when the Jerky Boys came up, none of those Musacha calls were on that CD.
All right.
Then there was a CD that came out shortly after the Jerky Boys called the Musacha Tapes. But there was a guy who's like, 6811 79th Street, Middle Village. You got to get off the drug side.
Right.
He had a voice like that.
Yeah. See, I don't know those. And I think, I'm thinking now, maybe the tape that I had didn't have all that shit on it. It just had, like, all the way up to Auto Mechanic and...
Well, it probably did.
You know, paint work. You got some paint work for me?
Yeah.
That might be my favorite.
But all the addresses, they would say, were 6811 79th Street, Middle Village. And then a lot of that, a lot of those calls, the ones that made it from the bootleg to the CD,
yeah.
there was a lot censored. And I had memorized them because I listened to it over and over again. So this is how I did the track listing. And I just wrote... What did I write on the cassette? I wrote... What's My Name Jerky, Crankin' Bootleg, NYC Gets Fucked With. And then I named the tracks Pablo.
Oh, yeah.
Pablo,
honey.
Please come to Florida.
You wash your ass?
Pablo? You wash your ass.
Don't Pick On Me, which, don't pick on me. It was some girl. Laser My Ass.
Yeah. Laser Treatment.
Yeah. Saul's Glasses.
Oh.
Lawyers, Motorcycle. I don't remember that one. What Are You Wearing? Injured at Work. That's a classic one.
Yeah.
Brett Weir.
Brett Weir, I said.
Secure. That's Auto Mechanic, isn't it?
Yeah.
No. What, Brett Weir? No.
Yeah.
Nah, well, he's on both of those.
Brett Weir is the Super Across the Way.
Oh, yeah.
The Super
right.
Across the Way? Yeah.
Right.
All right. Security Job, Auto Job.
Auto Job.
Can't You Help Me? You Make a Job for Me? Bilingual, Jamaica, Florist, Stone Setter's Job. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
That one's a good one. Hold On, Tough Guy. I mean, these are the tracks. And then I flip it over to side two. You got Jack's Video Store. I'm Sick as a Fucking Dog. We Sell a Lot of Pies Today. Open Your Fucking Ears, Jackass. Stop Screaming at Me. Roto Rooters. That's a good one.
Rizzo.
That's the 6811 79th Street Middle Village call. Stay Off of the Drugs, Son. What's this one say?
I should have re-listened to it. You know, that's the one thing I haven't done in preparation for this interview, is just gone back and re-listened to everything. You feel like you know it so well already. It's, I got it.
Where's that young punk? Where's that young punk? That's a Musacha tape, too.
Yeah, see, I guess I don't know this.
A John Musacha call.
But I don't know if you noticed this, but I tend to forget shit a lot.
Yeah, but you don't forget what you listen to over and over again.
Everything.
I mean, right.
But if you bring it up, I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to go into his thing with his ex partner. We're not going to talk about that. I mean, you can find all that out
there. According to the Rolling Stone article that we read, that was
from 2013.
Yeah, I mean, they are not talking, and Mm-mm. It's probably not a good idea to bring it up.
Right.
So we won't. Why do we want to agitate people?
That's right, Mikey Ruderman. They're up there jagging him in the ass with baseball bats.
Getting aggravated.
What's going on there, Shelley? You know, you don't know that one, do you?
I guess not. What's your favorite? Sparky?
Well, it's kind of difficult for me to pick a favorite because some of them are really weird. I like...
Piano Tuner.
I do like that one. But I like the call where he...
Of your ass?
He calls the Japanese drilling company in New York City and I want to dig underneath Manhattan. And the guy's like, oh, he doesn't speak English. He
goes, I don't know that.
He goes, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for dilithium crystals. Oh, please affect, sir. Oh, yeah, that's right. Dilithium crystals. You know, Scotty installs all that shit.
I don't know that one.
And he goes, maybe we go down in the tunnels together. And he goes, oh, for the time being. All right, for the time being. And if it gets cold, we throw on some slacks.
That's another one you just reminded me of. The shit breathers.
The shit breathers.
Yeah. You got the breathers, the long clothes?
Yeah.
Don't give me them shit breathers. I want the good stuff.
I want the good shit.
I put mustard on it, and I eat the fucking shit.
So there was a lot of good TV over the weekend.
Oh, we're going to do that?
We're going to talk about TV next week. But if you watch anything other than Preacher or Star Trek, Discovery, or The Orville, what did you watch?
You know what? I haven't been
on... Deuce.
Did you watch that? I haven't watched...
Can I borrow $30 on your car, Tim?
Why?
I need to go in the tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
No. Was that episode
I haven't watched the latest.
You haven't watched it yet?
No.
Emily Mead.
Yeah, I haven't had time to watch
$30 shit. Rides with guys through the tunnel from New York to New Jersey.
Oh, and then she gives blowies. Yeah.
I went and saw Tesla last night.
How was that?
No way out, no way out.
Is it the original lineup?
I'm telling you, that band, 30 years, the same guys.
They were a good band.
They're great. They're like a just solid meat and potatoes rock band,
What's
really.
The song that, I mean, Love Song is there?
Love Song, there's
Signs.
The Way It Is, The Way That It Goes.
Yeah, they were not bad. I enjoyed
They're
Tesla.
They're great, man.
I always liked Edison better.
Yeah, I did too. They stole all of Tesla's stuff. I also liked Dokken. I was thinking about them today.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Rocking with Dokken.
I was standing behind a guy last night. Uh-huh. A Tesla that had a Dokken shirt, and under it, it had Bang Tango and Enough's Enough.
Bang Tango. You know,
all those three bands on one show.
Jeff liked Enough's Enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like Enough's Enough.
Well, we talked about them.
Yeah, on a new thing.
Yeah. But yeah, Tesla was good. So that's what I saw. I didn't watch any TV, but I watched them.
All right, so we're going to pause here. No, we're not going to pause here. Why am I pausing here?
Well, you could pause here and put in a commercial or something.
Oh, yeah, we're going to pause here and then...
throw in the Burger Box commercial.
Okay.
Burger Box.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. It's Paul Stanley here for Burger Box. Have you heard about Burger Box? You want to try it? Well, you're in luck, because right now, for a limited time only, they're giving away a $45 trial box. You can try Burger Box at a discounted price. Just go to burgerbox.com/labyrinth, because it's, you know, affiliated with Radio Labyrinth here. But listen, this deal will not last. It can't, because they're losing money on it. Find out all about Burger Box's Burger of the Month, because they ship the Tuesday after the 10th of each month. Now, I know that sounds confusing, but it's not. It's the Tuesday after the 10th of each month. Because of all of that, all orders must be submitted by September 10th. Now, listen, it's whatever. It's after that, right? So listen, you missed September's, but let me tell you what you didn't get, and then you can come back, because it's always going to be something new and exciting. You missed the notorious P.I.G., because it's in celebration of the 1 year in business. So they went back to the very first burger, the notorious P.I.G., a.k.a. Big Papa. That has Angus beef patties, 8-ounce ones, bacon, Italian sausage, pulled pork, notorious P.I.G. slaw. I wonder what that could be. American cheese. Potato bread. I love potato bread. You can make a little bun out of that. And listen, you also get custom French fries, but also with the toppings on there, and mac and cheese. Just go to the site for more details. Oh, and they also have Boston baked beans and homemade coleslaw. Find out how it works and everything you'll need at burgerbox.com/labyrinth. Burger Box makes a great meal and an even better gift. I got one for Gene, but not for Peter Chris because, well, it's even better if you can convince your friend that you bought it for to cook it for you. Burger Box. Eat.
No, he didn't sound mad. Why are you asking if he sounds mad? Are you mad, Johnny?
Is he there?
Hello?
I can't hear him, too.
No, uh-oh. I can't hear him either. Did you hang up on him?
No. Hello, Johnny?
Yes.
There hey. He is. There's there Mr. Brennan. Is. Hi, sir.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
Hey. Hello. What? Yes?
Hello. Hi, ma'am.
Barbara?
Barbara?
Who was Barbara?
Do, honey, baby.
Got a little job for you on the side.
All right.
Yeah, that's another cut. That's another
I know,
one.
I know. I'm mixing. I'm
yeah,
mixing.
We mix and match here. Hey, our guest tonight is an actor, writer, and voiceover artist. He co-wrote and starred in a 1995 cult classic film that I went by myself to see in the theater. He can be heard. He can be heard on Fox's Family Guy. He's also a hilarious improvisational comedian and prank caller, responsible for billions of laughs worldwide. He's been called the king of pranks, and he is the Jerky Boy. Let's give it up for Johnny Brennan, guys.
Man.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
We're very happy to have you. You're one of our, all three of us, you're one of our heroes, man, going back to the early 1990s.
Oh, yeah, all of us. And we're all from the tri-state area, so.
Right.
Yeah, man, I was born and raised in Manhattan, you know, I'm pretty much all over the place, out to Queens, a little bit upstate New York, so I'm pretty much all over the place.
Middletown.
A lot of my... Yeah, Middletown. See, a lot of my history worked its way into a lot of my, you know, early days with the calls and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Jersey. These guys are Pennsylvania.
And upstate New York.
Yeah, upstate New York. Well, the boring part of New York. Not the good part of New York.
Whereabouts upstate?
You ever heard of Mansfield or Elmira, New York?
Yes.
Elmira Corning area, that's kind of where we grew up.
Yeah, we race cars out that way.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, he doesn't.
Well, he could.
Watkins Glen is right near there.
speeding up and down all over the place.
I mean, there was a point where he needed an auto mechanic, as you might remember.
Like 5 or 6 years ago, I was in Binghamton, New York, visiting a buddy, and his neighbor had a race car he was working on. I took a picture of it and tweeted it to Johnny, and I used the line, and you retweeted it, and I was very excited about that.
18 years.
That's right.
That's right, tough guy. Let me tell you something. Up in Binghamton, we used to go to Binghamton. There was a great speedway there called Northgate Speedway. And it was indoor, outdoor, and it's fun speedway where you can go and bring your friends, and we went the whole day up there, and man, they had these little sprint cars. They were the most fun things to drive, because what they would do is they put graphite down on the track.
Yeah.
So you had to handle it. You had to wheel that son of a bitch all night and all day, man. And we had so much fun at that place.
That's cool that you're a racer, man. You got to come down to Road Atlanta sometime, man. Great track.
Oh yeah, my brother actually drove for the Richard Petty Racing School for years.
Get out of here. That's cool. Richard Petty.
Yeah, so we got him hooked up with that. He drove there for years, and he's one of the guys that, you know, you get in the car with him, and he kind of makes you crap your pants and all that jazz, you know?
So that's how you knew, I mean, was that your inspiration, your interest in racing for that you know, infamous call from the first CD?
Well, actually, I just incorporated that into my work, you know, as Frank Rizzo, because the racing was in my life way before, you know. You know, I was hitting the racetracks literally when I was a little boy. You know, 1964, 65 is my first trip to the racetrack up here in Middletown, New York. So, I mean, racing's always been part of our life. So, I mean, I incorporate a lot of the stuff that I've done in my life or, you know, in my younger life. I incorporate a lot of that, say, like paintwork, you know.
Paintwork.
You got nothing, you know.
What about taping?
What about taping?
Nothing.
You could pretty much take apart any one of my skits, and you'll find something. Like, for example, the one with the clam chowder, with the scaffold, and I got the scaffold out there. And
roofing?
Roofing. Roof work.
No, I'm not like... So your wife was out there with the hot mops, pretending like she knew what she was fucking doing?
Yeah, she's out there poking around like she knows what the fuck she's doing. I threw her right off the fucking roof, down onto the fucking car, bang, right on her fucking head.
Fired her down in the yard.
Here's how prevalent the Jerky Boys and Johnny are still in society today. Johnny, I work in radio, and I work part-time at a barbershop, you know, just for some scratch. I sweep up hair and whatnot, and I carve people's heads.
That would be a good call sometime.
But I was washing this dude's hair, and he was talking about something, and I inadvertently used a line from one of the CDs, and he knew right away. I think it was the mining call, you know, the Japanese guy.
Yeah.
And this guy owns a tattoo shop, and he said all they do all day long, at least once or twice a week, is put on the Jerky Boys.
Sure.
Still, in 2017, so that's pretty freaking awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm sure you get that all the time from people.
It's amazing. And let me tell you something. The beautiful thing is to know that you created something that after all of these decades, let me tell you, it's stronger now than I've ever seen it before because of social media. Now, the only difference is that you don't get paid for it. You know, back in the day, you know, you put out records and, you know, they sell. I sold millions and millions and millions of records. But you know who makes the money? I don't got to tell you. The record companies, they
sure.
Make you 7 ways to Sunday. But now... It's like it's bigger now than it ever was, thanks to social media. So it's like a double-edged sword. It's like it's all good in a way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know it's mostly Spotify and YouTube now, and nobody's making anything off of that stuff.
No. And you could see. I mean, I remember the day I used to go to record stores, right? And I put my right hand to God. There was 10,000-15,000 people out the door. There were lines of people. They'd come in and buy the record, and then they could get a chance. They'd shake my hand.
Yeah.
I'd sign whatever they want me to sign on the records. And those were fun days, man. And I actually have this on film where the line goes out the door and around the block, and it's thousands and thousands of people. Now you don't even have record stores anymore.
Right. Yeah, where are you going to go?
iTunes.
Right.
Hey, speaking of that, is there? Jeff wanted to know. I'm just going to ask your question, Jeff. Is there an official place to buy Jerky Boys albums? When we just go to thejerkyboys.com to get them?
Yes, it's more of a nostalgic deal now. You know, people, they don't need to play CDs anymore. And I do a lot of these Comic Cons where I take the stuff because it's nostalgic. They like to have it put on their shelf or something like that.
Right.
So it's actually Jerky Boys 1 or Jerky Boys 2, you know, any of the CDs really, but pretty much the first two as a nostalgic deal. And, you know, what I do, and they're actual CDs, they will play. I autograph them for people and that sort of thing. People love that. And the same thing with the movies. And I got a brand new line of T-shirts, mugs, hats, you name it. And I can't believe the response it's getting. It's amazing. And it is. It's all at thejerkyboys.com. So you remember the word the, so it's thejerkyboys.com. And I think people are really going to love this stuff.
Here's something else you can get. You can go there and get Jerky Gourmet Foods. They have, and the one that really piques my interest the most is Frank's Pickle Barrel Ash. You get, what are they, bread and butter, right. Zesty bread and butter pickles.
Right. And, you know, the funny thing is the food is actually Pomodori Foods out of Pittsburgh. And the food's all gourmet. It's no preservatives. It's all top shelf, top notch stuff. And it just, we just thought, how awesome would it be to have, you know, Frank Rizzo has his own pickles, his own line of pickles.
So yeah.
it all, and Saul Rosenberg, he's got tearing the ass out of me. You know, so and I have to say, the products are absolutely amazing. So that, you know, it's really good stuff. But that's the food, and, you know, people can go to jerkyboys.com, and, you know, there's a lot, anything, there's so much stuff to choose from. I even do personal, like, greetings for the fans, like birthdays and bar mitzvahs. I've done weddings, you name it, I do it.
And people can pick what character they want you to do it in?
Yes, they pick the character, like, you know, I do birthdays, let's say, that, like, some guy, his dad and him, you know, he grew up on the Jerky Boys, his dad turned him onto it, so for the dad's birthday, you know, they send me a little script of what they want me to say to the dad, and then they'll pick Frank Rizzo or Saul, and then I just go crazy on it.
Who do they pick the most?
I have to say it's pretty much a throw up. They like it. It could either be Sol or Frank or Jack. You know, I get a lot for Big Old Badass Bob the Cattle Rustler, and any from Pico. I get Rosine, the Puerto Rican transvestite.
Rosine, I love Rosine.
You know what it is? What it is people out there by the millions, they have their favorites that they have a personal running joke, let's say, with their mom or their dad and or their brother or their sister or their cousin, and that personal joke might only exist with the character Rosine, let's say.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. It's got to be real inside sometimes, right?
Yeah, that's how that kind of works.
My buddy and I have a friend who lives in Binghamton. His name's Larry. He and I can't go the entire week without texting each other quotes.
Of course not.
And, you know,
yeah.
We just love it. When you were a kid, you were like us. You started making prank phone calls when you were a kid, right? Just to entertain yourselves, you and your buddies?
Yeah. Well, this is where, you know, it's very funny. People, like, when I was a kid, I Rolling Stone did a feature story on me and Maxim magazine, and I said the same thing, and people couldn't believe it when they read it. I never had any interest whatsoever in doing prank phone calls at all when I was a kid, especially, and that's when it was really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love to do, like, real situations where I would fuck with other human beings, especially adults.
Yeah.
And sometimes it got me a horrible ass whipping from my father, but I enjoyed doing things. For example, my sister had a life-size doll. It was literally like, you know, almost 5 feet tall. And I dressed it up in all my football equipment. I took it up to the roof in Astoria, Queens.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, you know, 35 feet up, and the street is right below. And I would wait for a car to come up the block, speeding up the block. I would fire this thing off the roof out in front of the car. Next thing you hear, like,
oh, jeez, man.
Somebody gets blasted. And everybody come running up the block. They think somebody got blasted by a car. And that, to me, was that was like gold. I used to love to fuck with people in that
way. I'm sure the neighbors love that.
let me tell you, Astoria, Queens, it was all a bunch of tenement buildings. We were all like family up and down the block. So when you did stuff like that, you became like a legend. And I was only like, I don't know, 10 years old at the time. But anyway, what happens is those were the things that turned me on, like screwing with people.
Yeah.
The phone thing came later. I was recording my voices and my characters on Reel to Reel back in, you know, the early 70s and stuff like that.
Jeez.
But that was my characters interacting with each other and, you know, whatever. And then, you know, in the late 70s, I said, oh, geez, how cool, because I was looking for a pickup truck or, you know, and I'm saying, holy crap, I got the bylines here, I got my boom box over here, and I just said, yeah, let me give this a shot. So I started interacting my characters with real people instead of just with each other, and that's how it all took off.
I was going to ask you, I mean, I know you grew up, you were in the trades and, you know, some of the jobs that you did and everything. Were some of those calls people that you knew that you were going to fuck with that you knew it would be a good call, or was it totally random all the time?
No, it was all the stuff that you hear is always random. But now here's the beauty of it. Let's say, for example, you take a Brett Weir call.
See, right? That's exactly what I was going to ask you about. Yeah.
Now that call, my dad, there's Brett Weir is a real person. He exists.
Yeah.
And I think Brett today is probably close to 59.
Right. Well, I mean, he'd have Brett to exist Weir. If those guys were going to go looking for him, you know.
Yeah. But Brett Weir, This is a building in New York City, and the funny thing, here's the real funny kicker. My brother, my younger brother, Joe, actually now runs that same building.
Get out of here.
So anyway,
yeah,
he runs that building. It's on 79th Street, New York City. So anyway, and it's a beautiful high-rise building. So my father got Brett Weir that gig when he was a young man.
No shit.
Is it 6811 79th Street?
The beauty of that call, get Brett Weir, I said,
yeah,
is that Brett never answered the phone.
Yeah, I know.
See? Now,
it worked
Brett,
out.
If Brett would have answered the phone, done. We would never have that comedy, that beautiful with that doorman.
Right.
I have a doorman, and I have a funny feeling that the doorman, his name was Maury, he was a great guy. I have a funny feeling that he thought that I was Mr. Brennan, meaning my father.
Yeah,
My father was a bigwig in that industry, you know, running all these high-rise Fifth Avenue, Park Avenue buildings.
And he was the super across
maybe,
the way.
Maybe, yeah. So when I'm saying, you know, when I get really nasty with him, he knows what the fuck I'm talking. And don't have me come down here for you either, tough guy. So,
super across the way.
Yeah, I can hear in his voice that he was scared.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
And so that, but just like I said, imagine if Brett had answered that call. So to get back to your question,
yeah,
that's a call that was just so beautiful. Because when this started, Howard Stern started blowing this out of the water in, I think, the early to mid 80s.
Right.
People started coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, that's me.
Oh, really?
And then finally, Howard was like, this is, if anybody knows the real guy, please, I've got to know who this is. This is the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. I mean, to this day, Howard plays the stuff.
Right.
But anyway, so finally I came forward, and I did things inside the Jerky Boys. If you listen back to the old bootlegs, there's stuff that's in there, like the Brett Weir call, that all of these imitators that said it was them, they had no idea who this person is.
Yeah.
They had no idea who Brett Weir was.
Right.
But I have all the backstory, and that's how everybody at Atlantic Records said, holy shit, this is the real guy.
Right.
I found my original bootleg tape this afternoon before I came in to do the show, and you guys weren't called the Jerky Boys. It was just, I just wrote New York City Getting Fucked With, and I made up my own track listings and names, but we played it over and over. I had to it broke. My original one broke, so I mended it together and then put it on a new cassette. But I still have it from the...
You know, that is so cool. I saw the picture of it on Twitter.
Oh,
you
cool.
Know, it's what's so awesome about what you just said is... So anyway, there is no name, okay? This is now Atlantic Records picked me up. And Atlantic Records is going, okay, we're gonna officially release this. We need a name for this. And I'm on the phone with them, right?
Yeah.
And this is upstate New York in Salisbury Mills. So I'm on the phone with Atlantic Records. My mom is washing the dishes. And this has got to be, I think, 1992, 91, 93, somewhere in there. So my mom's washing the dishes. I came up with, you know, a few different names. And I was going to call it, I'm sure you guys all know, it was going around as the Auto Mechanic tapes.
Uh-huh.
It was going around as the Tough Guy tapes, the Jerky tapes. So here we're thinking, my mom is listening to the conversation I'm having. And she's washing the dishes. And she goes, I don't know what the big deal is. I don't know why you just don't call it the fucking Jerky Boy. as soon as my mother said that, they heard it on the other end. They're like, oh, my God, that's it. Even I said, holy shit, that's brilliant. That's it. And she goes, well, I don't see what the big deal was anyway. You've been doing all the stupid little bastard characters forever. I don't think you would call it the Jerky Boys. And when she said the Jerky Boys, we all knew, bam, that's it. That's what this is going to be called.
Now, what were you doing when Stern started playing this stuff, and then you had to come out of the woodwork, and they found you? Just whatever.
I was actually hanging off buildings for a living, doing scaffolds and scaffolding.
Shit,
another call.
And it was pretty amazing. And that's when people. I was at a family reunion, and I believe it was like 84, 85, something like that. And my cousins are all coming up to me because I got hundreds of cousins, you know, up at this one. So anyway, they're all coming up to me. They're like, Johnny, you don't understand, man. Your tapes are everywhere. Your voice, your characters, they're everywhere. And I'm looking at them like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's crazy.
And they're like, the stuff that you make for your brothers, the tapes you make for your brothers. I'm like, yeah? It's all over. It's all over college up in Buffalo. It's all over up here in Boston. It's the tapes. And that's how I knew, holy shit, something really big is happening here.
Guy I work with at the radio station, his name is Mark Arum. He was frat brothers with your cousin Patrick Brennan. And he was playing the tape, and Patrick was, that's my cousin. At least that's according to him. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds like
I'm sure there's a zillion stories.
That's right. That's exactly. How funny is that? My cousin TJ, he's a bigwig with the FBI or the Secret Service or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't talk about this shit.
Yeah, so that Patrick Brennan. Yeah, so he's a great guy, a really great guy. And so, yeah, that would be exactly what we're talking about. And that would be exactly my cousins at the reunion saying, Johnny, I'm telling you, you know, because they know me and my brothers, we're like kind of in the Brennan family. We're like, you know, we're the crazy ones. If you ever go to the Brennan's house, like, and I'm the oldest of all the children, so... Growing up in my house was absolutely insane. People would love to come to my house just to spend a weekend, just to tell somebody that you got to go and you got to spend a weekend with fucking crazy.
You could do a movie about that now.
I still remember that when that tape came out and then the albums came out, we made prank calls all the time. I had a character named Cliff Barnstein, and we would just mess with people in our town. I'd say, you know, you got a job. I need you to go down to the VFW, and if I'm not there, just start whacking away at the barbecue pit, and we're going to build a new one. And people would show up and not do it. And then, or we would get people towed and stuff. And then when the Jerky Boys came around, it was like, all right, I'm hanging up the phone. Because right. This is comedy, and it made us laugh. I still kept making prank phone calls. I can't stop. I will be sitting on my porch at 10 o'clock at night, and my wife's asleep, and I'll be having a cigarette, and I'm going to make a prank phone call. Just because it's in my blood. And I'm hoping that you're still doing that. Do you still say, ah, fuck it, I need to call somebody?
You know, it's funny. It's like I said, it was never anything that I wanted to do anyway. It's just that I knew it was a great way for me to get my characters interacting with other people. You see what I'm saying?
And now,
let me try to... Once it's rolling, let's put it this way. Once it's rolling, right?
Yeah.
Once it's rolling, there's no better feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And what I did, it's hilarious because you know what you're doing, you know, but I see the reason I believe that my stuff was always, and Howard Stern explained it, he says, the reason my stuff has been so successful over all these many decades, and it's as good or better now than it ever was, is because they're all real people. Whenever I was doing Sol Rosenberg, I was literally exaggerating my mom. Whenever I was doing Frank Rizzo, I was actually doing my father when he was pissed off. So every one of my characters is born of a real human being that I take and turn into a cartoon character.
Yeah.
So later when you would do the calls or, you know, it was a blast, man. It was a blast because, you know, and people always say to me, well, I don't understand how you don't lose it and start laughing your ass off during these calls. And I always told people, I said, because for you, it's funny. For me, it's real. So in other words, when I say that one skit, that one of my favorite skits of all time is with that the chainsaw shot. So when I got to look for the chainsaw, and Sol Rosenberg trips over his dog, and he literally breaks his leg, he crawls back up into the chair, and everyone thinks it's the funniest thing, and it's, how did you not laugh during that?
Right.
And I say, because for me, I had to crawl back up into the chair, and I'm looking down at my leg, and my fucking foot is dangling by a piece of skin. So for me, if I laughed, then it would just totally destroy, you know, what you're doing.
Right.
Then it wouldn't be funny. For me, it's a real little motion picture that I'm trying to paint so that you see exactly what I got going on, and I hope that you get a kick out of it.
And the adrenaline rush you're probably having when you're trying to keep these people on the phone as it's going on just probably keeps you going. As well,
yeah, it's really cool. It's just so funny how it turned into what it turned into.
Yeah.
And I believe because it really wasn't my intent. You see, I think it was just one of those miracle or happy accidents that happened. Because you know, I'm making some stuff for my brothers to laugh on the weekend when we all get together up at the house upstate, so we can all have a good laugh.
Sure.
And because for me, it's just, yeah, Johnny, you know, my father would always say, that's your fucking wacky brother fucking around again. So, that it was that lighthearted.
Yeah.
But guess what? When it got out to the world, it really meant something a lot more. You know, where I just thought I was doing a crazy goof I was doing a bunch of characters. I've been doing characters since I'm literally 5 years old. So I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm doing this for my family, for my brothers, and we're going to have a kick out of it. But when it hit the streets, it was so much bigger than that. It was absolutely amazing.
I mean, you created, actually, a whole brand new American language. I know you know that. You know, because we were all, you know, from up north, and then, you know, we could have whole conversations just using jerky lines,
yes,
you know, over and over with all our friends. I'm sure you can do that too, and you probably do with your family and your friends. But, you know, we came, so we're in Atlanta, and we come down here to Atlanta. I've been here, you know, a little over 20 years, and you'd run into people down here that has Southern accents that are talking like Frank Rizzo.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, you know, we're teaching people to talk like us from up north through these tapes, you know?
Right.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, funny enough, too, what I was telling you before about the Richard Petty racing schools, you know, when Jeff Gordon and all these guys were running all week in their shops, they all, I've sent so much stuff to the chief engineers and the chief guys over, I've gone on tours down at Tony Stewart's when he was running for Home Depot. Every one of these guys down there, Tony Stewart is a diehard Jerky Boys fan. You know, it's not just one, it's all the teams, they run the tapes in their shops. To this day, you know, Frank Rizzo is still putting a smile on people's faces. And that goes for all of the characters. It's just pretty, it's pretty cool, man. It's pretty amazing.
And was a Radiohead name there?
Oh, yeah,
Pablo Honey. After your...
Yes.
Pablo.
Yes.
Please
yes.
come to Florida.
Right after my first record was out, actually, I think Radiohead, I have no doubt in my mind, they had the bootleg anyway. Sure. So they called me at my house. And again, it was, you're talking probably 93-ish, 92-ish, and Radiohead asked permission. They asked me if it would be okay if they used my skit, Pablo Honey, to name their debut album in America.
Wow.
And I just thought that was awesome. I had no idea who Radiohead was.
Right. Who are you again?
So I had no idea who these guys were. So I said, you know what, guys? I said, absolutely. You're welcome to it. So they named their debut album Pablo Honey after the Jerky Boys Pablo Honey skit. And guess who chases me up the Billboard charts? Jerky Boys hits number one.
Yeah.
It's the number one spot, and right behind me, number two, Radiohead with Pablo Honey.
I mean, how were you feeling when you saw that? Like, that week that was happening, and thinking back to
cool?
just... you guys fucking around, you know, with the phone, it must have blown your mind.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like I told you, it's like a happy miracle. It's like something, just think, when could you ever say that I let Radiohead use my skit to name their debut album in America? They would go on to become one of the greatest rock and roll bands, the greatest bands of all time.
Right.
And then they chase you up the charts. I have the plaque hanging on my wall. The plaque was sent to me from Billboard magazine. And right there, Jerky Boys number one and number two, Radiohead with Pablo Honey. So, I mean, that's like a dream. It's just like a dream. It's amazing.
You know, Paul McCartney is going to call you and say, we're going to name our next album Hot Mops.
Yeah. Jeff, you had another question.
I wanted to ask what was going on with the Jerky Boys animated series. You had mentioned that maybe there was some progress being made towards that.
Yes.
Cartoon.
Yes, absolutely. That's the kind of thing, you know, it's funny how Hollywood works, man. It's like, here you have a product, a proven product, right? You look at my characters in Family Guy, they're huge successes. Everybody loves it. I've been asked thousands of times, why does Mort Goldman not have his own show?
Right.
His own show?
It would be funnier than
My characters work. Wherever they go, they
right.
work. Right? You don't have to fucking test them. You don't have to throw spaghetti at the wall.
No.
So you have Hollywood, right? You go into pitch meetings, and here I have this whole stable of characters. And you could do a blue cartoon if you want, where it's a little bit more risque. You could do a clean one if you want, because I've done that as well. You could do what you could pretty much do whatever you want. But you have this whole stable of characters that have never been brought to an animated world, okay? And here they sit, and you'll see these dumbasses in meetings look at you like, I don't know. Them. You
oh,
know,
of course.
What the fuck don't you know?
Yeah, they have to justify their job, so they got to ask questions, right?
Just so in my mind, and in millions of other people, fans' minds, it's a no-brainer. This should have been an animated series eons ago.
Oh, yeah.
And again, you can look at the track record of my characters, you know, let's put it that way, on Family Guy or anything else they've been in. They work very well.
Do you think you could do the Jerky Boys, if it never had existed in 2017 with caller ID and PC people and all that, do you think you could do it again? Do you think it could, like, somebody could come along and recapture that?
You know what? I think today it would be extremely difficult because, again, it gets back to one of those happy miracles. Everything has a time and a place. Everything falls into something for a reason.
Right.
And don't forget, I was also before the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, way before. I mean, you're talking about when it was still doing reel-to-reel cutting and whatnot. So just think about how things are. So today, everything is instant gratification.
Yep, right.
And you watch if you've got your phone in your hand, and we're all guilty of it, myself included. If I'm going through the phone and I see something that it's got an ad, I'm gone. I'm out of there.
Right.
If I'm going through the phone and I see something that's going to waste my time, like I want to see something, I want to see it quick, and I want to see what's going on. I want to get right to the point. See, I've always been that way, though. I've always been a very high strung guy. I just want, you know, go. But I don't think you know what? Anything is possible, but I think lightning has already hit with that. The Jerky Boys thing, because I know they've been trying to do it for the last, you know, 35 plus years. They've been trying to recreate the same thing, and I know the record companies have been trying as hard as they can, and it never happened. It never came about. All they wound up with was boxes and boxes and boxes of CDs and tapes of people that were actually just doing Frank Rizzo, Saul Rosenberg.
Right. You got to have the original, baby.
So speaking of
anyway, that's a very interesting question, but I don't know. And again, remember, see. The Jerky Boys, the thing I created went viral before there was an internet.
Yeah.
So how did it go viral? People said, oh my God, they would take the thing home, they would make 5, 10, 15 copies, and they say, you gotta fucking hear this. You know,
right.
What you hear. And that's how I went viral all those years ago.
That people is amazing today, how that happened. Yeah.
Today you could probably go viral, but it would be through social media.
And then it would be done. And then, oh, you remember that video from two years ago? Do you listen to any of the modern guys who came after you, like, I don't know, Touchtone Terrorist, Tom Mabe, any of those guys?
You know what? When people tell me, I think it's, I'm not going to say for sure if it's Mabe or somebody did something about telemarketers, and I remember them going around to different radio stations, and they were actually very nice. They were giving me props about Jerky Boys free. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember who the guy was, but he was saying that, yes, he said, I just want to give a big shout-out to Johnny, and Jerky Boys 3 actually gave me this idea that when, you know, because on Jerky Boys 3 is when I put the reverse, where calls come in. And
yeah,
I was going to say, I love that.
You guys probably remember Jerky Boys 3. Jerky Boys 3 is also my favorite Jerky Boys record.
Really?
Oh, it's one of mine.
Yes, I love that record.
Yeah.
I loved it when they had the people.
I put so much work into that record because Jerky Boys 1 took the world by storm. After I made Jerky Boys 1, people would say, okay, there's no way on God's earth that you can follow that record up.
Right.
Not only did I follow it up, I smashed it with Jerky Boys 2. That sold almost 1 million units in a week, and it hit number one in Billboard.
I bought it the day
then
it came out.
I said, okay, well, now I said, oh, geez, now I'm in a pickle. So I got a track right here. I got to keep this thing going. So for Jerky Boys 3, I worked on it for like a year and a half. Came up with an amazing concept for the album cover along with Sean Taggart and just the whole King Kong thing and also put 5 brand new characters on the CD and just so much work went into Jerky Boys 3 and it's so original and the calls coming in and this now gets back to what we were talking about. What do you think happens? As soon as I released Jerky Boys 3, the internet.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
And you could clearly see where I was selling millions and millions of records for 1 and 2. Jerky Boys 3 hits the board. I think I sold 600,000-700,000 units. And then everybody was like, well, you know, I'm sure it's well over that now. But everybody was like, well, that's the end of that. There's no use to have to buy anything anymore because now we can just take it off the internet.
Right.
Right. And then, but then there were two more albums after that, right? Two original.
Yes. Yes.
Stop Staring at Me.
Yep, I did Jerky Boys 4, and I did Stop Staring at Me, Jerky Boys 5, and then I did, I think around 99, I put out the Jerky Tapes.
Yes.
It's a brown bag kind of thing, like Led Zeppelin, In Through the Outdoor.
Right.
So it's a brown bag, the Jerky Tapes, and the Jerky Tapes is made up of calls that were not rejects, but I didn't use them because they ran very, very long. And people would always ask me, Johnny, do you have anything in the can? Because by this time, I stopped making calls. So, and I would say, Jesus, no, I have nothing in the can. Everything that I ever did was used on my records. So then I said, wait a minute, I do have a few calls, maybe, you know, 15, maybe 20 of these things that are literally like 6, 8, 10 minutes long. And I said, but you know what? Some of them are damn good. So I took a chance. I said, the hell with it. I'm going to try it. I put out the jerky tapes. It's got Derek Jeter call on there. It's got the Flower Lady.
People love the flower now, they listen.
And by the way, you can listen to the this what I'm talking about. It's called the Jerky Tapes. You can listen to it. I just started my own YouTube channel. It's the official Johnny Brennan Jerky Boys YouTube channel. And you can check out the Jerky Tapes on there. And
cool.
You can listen to the calls in their entirety. And I think you're gonna love them. They're long, but they're absolutely classic.
And that's the easiest way to do it nowadays. Everybody's just wanting, you know, anytime you even want to pull up a song, you're just pulling it up on YouTube now.
Yeah, and if you're listening out there, go to thejerkyboys.com and you can follow Johnny at jerkyboysjohnny on Twitter. Jeff?
I was just looking for the YouTube channel.
Yes.
I was trying to find a link for it.
Hello. How often does it happen? I mean, you know, you own a home now and everything, and you're making calls, you know, to service people that you normally would need. You know, if you're calling a painter, I mean, how often does it happen where you just start laughing to yourself going, holy shit, you know?
Yeah. Or it's like just like sometimes you'll hear, like I'll think to say to myself, you know, like if I'm speaking to somebody on the phone, and I've done it sometimes too, you know, I catch myself doing it just like other people do. Like, for example, somebody, like they'll say to me, no, did you call here before? And right off the bat, I'm thinking, no, I didn't call before. Do you recognize the voice?
You recognize, exactly.
You remember the insulator job?
Yeah. I know you can't not do it. It's ingrained in my brain now, you know.
Right.
And if I hear a line and the next line I know what it is, I gotta say it. I can't get around it.
And you know the funny thing? The funny thing is the jerky voice and all the characters, they all have dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of little nuances and catchphrases that you would repeat, and, you know,
sure.
anything you could just think of, like anything you could think of from Jack or somebody might ask you a question in real life and you'll respond because that question that they asked you triggered a response.
Absolutely.
I need to dance, you fucker. I've used that one.
Yeah, I love that. Nelson, I love when he hung up the phone.
Oh.
Nelson.
Oh.
Whenever I need to dance, you fucker. Don't you say it.
Whenever someone's cooking bacon, then I always go, do you smell bacon?
Oh, yeah.
Do you smell bacon?
That's one of the best calls. And it's short, but it's the best because you're ignoring this lady. Right. And then, do you smell bacon? I smell bacon. No. Click.
Do you remember that other one, the guy called? He goes, I'm calling about a little bit of information.
Yeah.
Goes, you want some information? And he's like, yeah. Go fuck yourself,
asshole.
Oh, fuck yourself, asshole. And then I hung up the phone on the guy. See, now those are classic little bits, too, like the one I did for the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah. I got a truckload of fake pussies.
Big old badass pup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I damn sure can't fuck them all.
I got a truckload of fake pussies out here. Now, some of them, I sure as hell can't fuck them all.
I like the one where I think it's Frankie's in the hospital. Oh, God, I can't get my hand on a bottle of hooch. Johnny, disconnect the call.
You know, it's so funny that you bring that one up. That one has very sentimental reasons to me, and is one of my all-time favorite Frank Rizzo calls. And I always try to ask myself, why do I like that one so much? And if you listen, I finally answer the question. If you listen very closely to that call, you actually feel sympathetic. You feel bad for Frank Rizzo for the first time. It's the actual first time he's vulnerable. And up until that point, I couldn't figure out why I like that so much. He's trying to tell the kid, oh, he wants a bottle of hooch. You can't get near a bottle of hooch. He's up in the fucking... And one of my favorite lines of all time, I don't know how it just shot out of my head so fast, is when he says to me, can I give him the company name of the truck? And I said to the kid, how the fuck am I going to give you the company name when I'm busy rolling around in this fucking truck? And I said, I can give you some serial numbers off the gearbox. That's about it.
Right.
And it's the first time, though, that you actually hear Frank, even in his voice. It's just very low demeanor. It's just like you could tell Frank's just that. He's just fucking had it.
He's low keys in the hospital. He's in pain.
Yeah. Yep.
Man. Did you ever have any trouble getting these people that you talk to sign a release to be?
Yes. Yes, there was one. There was a couple, actually.
I mean, it's amazing that you got all those people to sign. Anyway,
right?
I'll tell you something. My manager, who I speak about often in the skits, Harry Getzoff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Harry, is mentioned a lot in these skits, and he's a terrific human being, and we, to this day, we're very, very dear friends. So Harry had a 99.9% rate of getting clearances because of his personality. He was such a nice guy. And he got all the clearances all through the years. Now, obviously, on Jerky Boys 1, there was a couple, you know, we didn't even, it was the first record. There was no way to get clearance. It was a bootleg.
Right.
So I got sued by the piano tuner guy.
Oh.
And I think it was like $200. We threw him $200. He was happy. And again, we don't even know if that was really him. It was just easier to pay him the $200, you know, whatever.
Sure.
So anyway, so that was about the extent of it, you know, as far as that goes. You know, I lost my train of thought. What were we going at?
I was just saying to have a hard time getting people to sign.
Yeah, the clearances, that's right. So that was a good example. And then as they would come on, yes, obviously then I was very careful to try to get as many as we could, or, you know, almost 100%. But Trouble was the Civil War memorabilia.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, the best one of the best ones.
Trouble. That was a hard one.
Really,
that took many months. It took many months and about $5,000. And the guy was a wonderful person, just a great guy. He's a doctor in the Hudson Valley, but he was just a great guy, and he was an avid collector for Civil War stuff. So anyway, that cost, you know. But what happened, lo and behold, was his grandchildren actually said to him, this will be the coolest thing, you have to do this.
Right.
So he eventually gave in, and I could use that call. And to this day, it's one of the greatest classic calls, Civil War memorabilia. And there was another flower lady call that I put on the jerky tapes. That cost another $4,000 or $5,000. But
geez.
I had, because it was just incredible. Also, I put clearances for those. That's about it as far as clearances go.
What about the mom of the or was it the was it, I don't
you
know
do?
About, I don't know about that.
Well, I don't get it.
Oh, you're
from Jerky Boys 2,
you're talking about the Nude Beaches one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there was no problems there. There was that, and by the way, that gets back to what we were saying before. That was a bit of an inside job. These are record executives that knew friends of friends, and this one guy was part of a nudist beach, and so I had no clue who this guy was, Jim something or other. And by the way, I call him on the skit, it's Jim with a B, Jim.
Yeah, Jim. Is Jim around?
So I don't know these people, but they are friends of friends of friends through the record company. So that there were a couple of inside jobs like that, and obviously the poor woman had no clue. I kind of felt bad. She, I'll talk to him. Like, don't you wait and see. Don't you worry.
I'll talk to him when he gets home.
Yeah. So, but again, now keep in mind that particular call, it's Nudist Colony. I believe it's called Nudist Camp or Nudist Colony.
Yeah, Saul's Nude Beach.
Saul's Nude Beach, man, there you go. I'm like a half a deck. But anyway, so there you go. Think about Saul's Nude Beach is, to this day, some people's absolute, you can't tell them any otherwise. It's their favorite call. They don't want to hear anything else. So anyway, to get back to the other thing we were talking about, there is one call we couldn't get, and here's Harry, as beautiful a person as Harry was, and as nice as everybody loved him. I did a call, and I don't know how it got out there, right? I'll say that, but, you know, I don't think I know how it got out there.
Right.
There's a call called Mr. Pickle. There's a big company in New York City called Mr. Pickle.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
And it's their giant supply of pickle warehouse company. I don't know why the guy didn't want to do anything. I could have made it, you know, I could have done all kinds of great advertising for him. But anyway, so after the call was done, and it's a great call, by the way, you could find out, you can Google it. People let it slip. They come out to the public. So anyway, Harry calls up Mr. Pickle, gets the owner of the company on the phone, and says, hey, he plays him the call and says, can I come down and you know, just bring you release forms for clearance for this call? He says to Harry, he goes, you come anywhere near my fucking business and I'll break your fucking leg.
Wow. Oh, man.
Holy shit. And that's the best you could get from him, huh?
That's what he said to Harry. So Harry tried a couple of times, and the response was always the same. He told me he was going to break his fucking legs. But the call is out there. People, it's very funny. I call the company up, and the guy answers the phone, and I'm Frank Rizzo-ish. So he answers the phone, and I'm like, he's like, hello, Mr. Pickle. And I said, oh, whoa, what the fuck with that filthy mouth? and then he goes, what are you talking about, filthy mouth? What is the matter with you? What's your problem? I said, well, you're coming off with that mouth. Oh, Mr. Pickle, hey, Mr. Pickle, what the hell is that filthy mouth you're running there? He goes, is there something wrong with you, buddy? Did you look it up in the phone book? What's the name of my company? And I said, Mr. Pickle. He goes, well, there you go. That's the name of my company. It's Mr. Pickle. Now, and I was, oh, okay, all right, maybe we get off on the wrong foot. I said, what do you got now, Dad? You got, I said, you got condiments. You got some things. We could, let's talk here. I've got a big party coming up. So he starts running through his things, and then he comes up again. And I think he says Pickles again. I go, holy gee, there you go. And so it's a classic Jerky Boys bit. But like I said, it's been leaked. Years ago, from what I understand, it leaked, got out there somehow. So I'm sure you can find it on the internet. It's Mr. Pickle.
I mean, Johnny, that sounds like it could be so. I mean, you're brilliant, but that sounds like something that just could be so easy.
Yeah.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, for him.
Oh, wait, yeah, yeah, right. You know?
I used to get lost right. when we'd make prank phone calls, and I wouldn't know what to say next.
Right.
But when we would do that, when you'd get into character, when you become somebody else, it's much easier. It was much easier for me to, you know, mess with them and go down to go and take the script wherever. But if I was just doing my own voice, I could get lost.
Yeah, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough.
No, we're not good. We're not.
Well, that gets back to what we were saying before. The reason, like, this is what Howard Stern said. The reason it's going to go on forever. You'll listen to these things in 50 years, and they're going to be just as good as they are now. Is because it's exactly what you just said. It's like these are real characters. They're real people. So I never have a worry about where I'm going to go, because I grew up with my mom, my dad, my Uncle Vinny. I grew up with all these people who I modeled all these characters after. So I know exactly where I'm going. And I always like to do it best in a dark room. Even when I recorded for Subway Sandwiches, Budweiser, whoever, Lee Jeans, I record for all these companies, and I always keep the control room, everything dark, so I could just close my eyes and just kind of relax and just have a blast. You just go, you get into that character, and you just go for it. It's just the way it's just, that's how it works the best, you know.
I mean, how does that commercial work start happening when you started getting those calls to do those jobs? Would they call you and just say, all right, this is what we need you to do, you know, or they just let you do your thing?
Yeah. Because, you know, the Jerky Boys has a very wide audience. My demographic is huge. So Anheuser-Busch naturally knew that they, you know, could hit, you know, sell a lot of, and the whole campaign was built on my Brett Weir call. The famous line, get Brett Weir, I said.
Yeah.
So they made up thousands of t-shirts, and the slogans were all over you could see the slogans everywhere. And it was Bud Light, I said. So that was the slogan. So everywhere we went, it was Bud Light, I said. So I did TV, I did television, I did radio. As a matter of fact, the radio commercial won the best commercial of the year, and I got the Mercury Award. For it was a Frank Rizzo bookstore for Bud Light beer. So I mean, it's pretty cool stuff.
Wow, that's amazing, man! Hey, congratulations with all your success, man. You know,
thank you, guys. I look forward like this, man. I'm looking forward to, with all this new social media and stuff. I just started doing these Comic Cons now, where you get out and meet the fans.
Oh yeah.
So I think I'm looking forward to, you know, more years of just, you know, just,
maybe like, put the podcast
An animated series would be insane.
Yeah, or maybe put the podcast back together. We really enjoyed the podcast.
I really loved doing the podcast. Except, you know, it was so much work, and
we know it's a lot of fucking
work.
Know. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of work, and I'd spend my whole Sunday getting it ready for Monday, and there was really nothing in it. You know, there was no return. There was no. You know, you got it. You got to look. I got kids. I got, you know, like just like anybody else. Everybody goes out to work. They work for a reason. You know.
Yeah.
Well, you're basically doing work for free.
I need work like anybody.
Right. Now with Patreon though, or Patreon.
Patreon, you'd get a lot of people giving you money.
Yeah, you could make a Patreon and put out episodes just for people who would pay for it.
Now we have a lot of.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? I heard about that Patreon.
Yeah. Hey, we'll work it out for you.
Yeah, we'll do it for you.
Just call us on the side. We'll tell you how this all works.
We'll get Mikey Rudiman to take care of it for you.
Right.
That's Mikey Rudiman.
Yeah. You know, that when they stop jagging him in the ass with baseball bats. See?
I know.
I can't have this, Shelley.
It's seamless.
Oh, man. This is, we've done a couple interviews here or there. But this is definitely my favorite so far.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, Johnny, I just got to, you know, tell you that you're a fucking hero to me and probably these guys, but definitely a comedy hero. Not too many people could have product that came out in the early 90s that I can still listen to today, and it's fresh and it makes me laugh. And I love it because it keeps me connected to home and to people that I've known through my life. Our love of Jerky Boys keeps us connected. So I really wanted to take at least 1 second and, you know, say thank you, because I really mean it from the bottom of my heart, man. You've given me so many laughs, and it is very much an honor to be able to speak to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you to say. I appreciate that. And I thank you guys. I really appreciate you just having me on and having
Oh, man.
Fun. And it's always a great time. People, you know what the people love now more than anything? What's they that? Love backstory. Now, obviously,
yeah. Yes,
people still want, you know, they still want to hear, come on, you fuck, you got to make some more calls and stuff.
Yeah.
But people do love the backstory. Like, and when right. you can get a chance to talk about some of that shit, it's pretty funny stuff.
And for me, I mean, you were, you know, I was in high school when the tapes were first circulating, and I guess I never really thought about who this guy really was for years. You were almost like a myth. And then finally when, you know, Stern was playing you and you started coming around, I'm like, oh, this is like the guy, yeah. you know? So to be able yeah. to talk to you now is pretty amazing for us, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for having me on. And I like I said, down the road, you want to, you know, holidays are coming. You want to have another, you know, shoot the shit session. We just bullshit, man. I'd love to come back on and say hello to everybody.
And hopefully come down to the track sometime, and you can come in the studio. You know?
Yeah, we'll go zooming all over. But, you know... There are cons down here in Atlanta all the time. There's, you know, the main one is Dragon Con every year on Labor Day weekend, but there's a bunch of other ones. If you're down here, we're going to come see you, and we're going to have you sign a shit tough guy.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate that, man. And, like I said, more. I always, if you just let me, too, I appreciate you letting me give a big shout-out to the fans. You know, I just want to say a big thank you to all the fans over the years. And without the fans, it's nothing. And I did find over all these years, though, that my fans are the coolest, most diehard fans that I have ever seen, ever.
Oh, you bet.
There was a woman before I got famous, right? This is going back to this has to be the mid-80s. And there was this young woman in Boston. She was dying from brain cancer. And she had, you know, there was no helping her. And
yeah.
I received a letter because at the time I only had a little post office box, and I was doing these bumper stickers that where you could call a phone line and it said 1-800 Hey You Jerky. So you could call the phone line. You remember those things?
Yeah,
$3. I was making like $3 or $2 a phone call, whatever it was. But that's all I had was a phone line, and this is way back in the 80s. And this woman reached out to me with a letter to my PO box or fan box, whatever you want to call it, fan mail, and told me her story and included her number. And I'll never forget calling her. And I called her from my Uncle Vinny's place. This is way before I was famous. And I was still working on the scaffolds and whatnot. And I called her because I didn't realize how cool it was that here's a woman in Boston writing me a letter telling me how much I make her feel good and take away some pain. And so I called her up. We spent a long time on the phone. And funny enough, I called her from my Uncle Vinny's apartment down in the village. Kissel, that's the character.
Kissel, yeah.
So anyway, I have a long talk with her, and I speak with her a few times, and it was just wonderful conversation. It made her feel good, and she was such a sweet person. So anyway, about 3 or 4 years ago, some guy reaches out to me. I don't remember if it was on Facebook or wherever it was, and he's you know, I don't know, you know, 25, 30 years old, whatever he is, and he says, Johnny, do you remember that woman that you would call on occasion, you know, that was dying of the brain tumor in Boston? I said, yes, absolutely. He goes, that was my mom.
Oh, no way.
And he said, dude, he says, I am your biggest fan for life. And I just, you know, there's nothing that can make you feel that good. You know how good that makes you feel as a person that you're able to make people just have a chuckle or a laugh, especially in today's times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can't imagine. I'd like to be able to do that.
When you're a human being, so you have shit that drives you crazy or bothers you or brings you down. I have that all the time. And then you get something like that and you're like, well, you know, my life isn't so bad, and I'm happy that I can make somebody else laugh. Making somebody else laugh and them acknowledging it is one of the greatest gifts.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing.
And also, you know, you brought up your kids for a second there, and you know, when people ask, or you know, the kids are going around and they say, oh, you know, what does your dad do? And he's the Jerky Boys guy. Does it get like that? What do your kids say about it?
Well, it's actually very cool. My oldest is now 22, and all through her high school and stuff like that, it's funny because a lot of the kids that she grew up with over the years, because she's 22 now.
Sure.
They all love Family Guy, and they know the old Victoria's dad. You know, yeah. He's Family Guy.
No blah, way.
Blah, blah. And then when she got into high school, all of the guards and all of the teachers at the high school love like the jerky. Fuck that Family Guy shit. You know, we love the jerky.
Right. They're like us.
Yeah, they're telling my daughter, you got to get some Jerky Boy shit, Victoria, from your dad. And she said, that's the funny, like, the juxtaposition. Here, well, on one hand, it's all the kids. They love the Family Guy. But the funny thing is now, you got to see these kids. They come up to me at these Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
And they're 11-year, 12-year-old girls, and they come up to my table. I'm thinking they're going to glom up some Family Guy stuff. And it's, no way, man. We're here for the Jerky Boy.
Yeah.
Really cool. Very cool stuff.
And they come up going, auto mechanic, looking for a job.
Everybody, follow Johnny at Jerky Boys Johnny on Twitter. And Facebook is what, Jeff?
Facebook slash Jerky Boys Johnny.
And check out thejerkyboys.com. That's thejerkyboys.com. And there's a link to a bunch of merch. You can find it there. It's got like lots of dashes and stuff. But there's a whole bunch of new hats and T-shirts, cool shit on there. And then, of course, check out the Jerky Gourmet Foods. I know I'm going to order the Frank Pickles Barrel Ass for my dad. He'll like it. He likes pickles. He pickles they.
And what's Saul's thing? Saul's is...
I pickle they. Saul's is the eyeglasses.
You have Saul?
Oh, yeah.
Hot sauce,
yeah, you're
right?
Talking about the hot sauce.
Yeah.
The salsa. There's two salsas.
Oh, the salsa.
Pico's. Yeah. Pico has his own. It's called Pico's Mild-Mannered Salsa. That's a very calm, nice one. And the one I will say this, the Saul Rosenberg salsa, it's called Saul's Tearing the Ass Out of It.
that's the one I got to get.
Trust me, it has a kick. I love hot food, but it does have a kick.
Laser treatment.
Johnny, would I be able to sue you maybe after I had some of that? Sue everybody.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they corrected me. I thought Saul Rosenberg, I thought it was a Saul skit where I said, and I think they said, no, I think you did Jack Torse, when I said that the doctor shot a pumpkin ball up my ass.
Yes. Could you please?
Do you remember? Was that Saul or was that Jack?
It was Jack.
That's what somebody said. I was doing Saul Rosenberg, and they say, Johnny, no, that's not Saul, it's Jack. Doctor shot a pumpkin ball up his ass.
Shot a pumpkin ball straight up my ass. I was under the impression that he would beat me about the breasts. Another great
breasts and head.
Yes.
Oh man,
Johnny, thank you so much, man. You're welcome. Anytime you have anything that you want to promote, email Jeff, and we'll talk about it. And we'd love to have you on around the holidays. Maybe get some holiday greetings sent out to people.
Oh yeah,
absolutely, guys.
All right, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Back it up. Thank you very much, Johnny.
Thank you, sir.
Bring it back, Mike. Watch his fucking legs.
What are we doing here?
Hey, so I just want to say thank you guys once again, and a big shout out to the fans.
Thanks, man.
The Jerky Boys fans are the best, man. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Love you, buddy.
Say a prayer, babe.
Bye.
Say a prayer, baby.
Bye, Johnny.
See you guys later.
All right. Thanks so much.
Hey, everybody. This is former United States President George W. Bush, and I got to tell you, I would never call out the NFL for, doing whatever they do. Baseball, yes, because I used to be an owner. And well, anyway, that's not why I'm here to talk politics and sports. I'm here to tell you, Radio Labyrinth has a wonderful group of people that call themselves patrons. They are patrons of the Radio Labyrinth Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/ Tim Andrews. And welcome Gordon Drum, who is one of our brand new top tier patrons. He donated online and has pledged to us. And don't worry, we're going to be working on some great rewards for y'all. Also new this week, Chris Weiland and Ryan Humans. Thank you, fellas. So let's get with the rest of the list here. We got Wendy Muller, Darren Downey, Ryan O'Connor, Dan Carroll, Denise Reynolds, Brian Jackson, Chris Colhard, Zach Pittman, some guy named JB. I call him JB. Beth Van Elswick, Lou Caniglio, Mike Hall, David C. Funk and the Funky Bunch, Matt Carter, Jonathan Wilson, Eric Malmstrom, Colin Oman, Amber Gilpatrick, Keith Tate, Herb Lamb, Jose Perales, Trent, and Dustin Lawler. Hey, man, we can't do the show without these people. Or, well, Tim and Ira and Jeff and Steph and Autumn and whoever else they have on the show. So make sure that if you're interested in joining, you just go to patreon.com/ Tim Andrews. He's a heck of a guy. I call him Stretch.
Oh, that was awesome. What a great guy. What a great fucking guy.
Did you just hang up on him now?
Yeah, we said goodbye to him.
Yeah, I know.
It'd be funny if he was still listening.
Those fucking assholes.
Holy shit. I'm going to be smiling for days about this shit. So what are we doing now?
So you guys want to bust through staff picks real quick here, okay?
Yeah.
I'll read Steph's. Steph's is Channel Zero Season 2, No End House, Wednesdays at 10 p.m. on Sci-Fi.
I watched this first one based on Steph's recommendation, and it's pretty weird.
Yeah, is it good, though?
Good weird?
I mean, it's not...
It's not Twin Peaks.
It's not scary. It's not like creepy, scary like American Horror Story. It's like weird, scary.
Are you, speaking of weird and scary, you're going to watch The Good Doctor with the autistic doctor?
No, I'm not going to watch
it. I don't think so.
Fucking stupid.
No, but it kind of sucked me in, and then there was a really weird twist at the end that made me want to keep watching it if you watch the first episode.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's got the dude that's the clown on American Horror Story.
All right.
You know what I mean? That dude that was, he played Drew Carey's drag.
And he plays one of the McDonald brothers in The Founder.
Yeah, that guy.
Autumn's pick this week is Jerry Before Seinfeld, which is on
I saw that.
Netflix.
I watched that as well.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
She says she's excited about Survivor coming back. Jeff, what's yours?
I like Survivor, too. The Mike Judge Tales from the Tour Bus on Cinemax.
Uh-huh.
It's like an animated show.
Have you watched it yet?
Yeah, the first one was really good.
I'll watch it tonight.
It was about Paycheck Johnny.
Uh-huh.
And how, like, just how much of a hick he was.
Johnny Paycheck?
Yeah, Johnny Paycheck.
Okay.
Paycheck Johnny.
And we'll take this job and shove it. You know, when that became such a huge song, and he just had more money than God, and just, you know, his life just went crazy after that.
Shit. All right. I like that.
Yeah, it's a really good show.
David Allan Coe wrote that song.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's like his backup band are the dudes telling the story.
So it's different every week?
Yeah, it's different person or different story every time, but it's all these like country legend stories.
Awesome. Mine?
Yeah, what's your attempt?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
Return Sunday.
I like the little commercial that they had for it where they're shining, they shine like the Batman signal in the sky. Right. Did you see this?
Turn that off.
Yeah. And he's like,
yeah. Ira?
I've talked about that startup podcast before on the show. They're into season six, and I listened to two of them this week that are kind of similar. It's episodes 2 and episode 6. I both recommend.
So you don't have
season
to,
6.
You don't have to listen to them in order. You can just listen to them.
No, they're all one-offs. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, and they're just about things. But,
things and whatnot.
Right. I'll talk about this. Episode 6 is called The Domain King, and it was about this guy who had owned a bunch of like the chat line numbers way back before the internet and all that stuff, and that was how he was making his business. And when the internet started coming around, he started buying up all these domains.
Coke.com and
like,
shit.
That they were, but his was all the sex ones, you know? And the story is incredible. And, so he started registering all these websites. Like,
I gotta get my fucking car fixed so I can start listening to podcasts again.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Just listen on your phone.
You can do it at home.
Yeah, but you can't listen with the headphones on.
Bro, what are you going to listen to headphones?
And then the other thing is because of the fucking Apple pricks, I can't charge and listen. Go ahead. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, right, interrupt.
Well, don't get
you.
One of those new iPhones.
Oh, I'm not going to. I don't have $1,000.
Anyway, so he started registering like ass.com, you know, and dick.com and everything. But he was trying to get porno.com,
mm-hmm.
and some college kid had it. And he's calling up this kid, going back and forth negotiating. He's like, all right, I'll give you $5,000. And he's like, no. And he's like, all right, $10,000. No. So he buys it for $42,000 from this college kid. And this is just one of the stories in this episode. So
right.
And but he says he's made over $30 million for buying porno.com.
Wow.
Just from that.
Just from that, million. Just from $42,000. But so that's one story on there, and his other stories are fascinating. And then the other episode is called Sex.com, which is, like I said, it's kind of similar. It's about the guy who had Sex.com.
Jesus.
And somebody stole it from him, and he didn't know.
Wow.
And it was so the whole episode is about his fight with this other guy who stole it from him. And that was zillions and trillions of dollars back and forth, going over like 20 years or something.
Damn.
With this guy. So that was very interesting. Startup podcast. Find it where you get your podcast. Goodbye.
Awesome. Thank you guys for coming in. Thank you very much, Johnny Brennan.
Holy shit.
At Jerky Boys Johnny on Twitter.
The same as Facebook.
Yes. And Guys, we'll be back full force next week. I don't think Ira will be with us, but you're always welcome to come in.
We'll see, you know.
Whatever.
Steph's back, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah, Steph will be back, and I hope her dog is okay. Because she had another dog get attacked by a copperhead snake. She's not a good week.
And I want to hear Autumn's complaints about the new Star Trek.
Yes. So we will be back then. Until that time, please remember to
keep it canon. Oh, shit.
Two Faces Radio.